And this morning we have two scripture readings for our second and third. On this special Sunday, the last Sunday before Advent, it is called Christ the King Sunday, we first visit the place where Christ showed his lordship. Not the kind of lordship that we are used to, but lordship nonetheless, in a very powerful, in fact, the only powerful way. Luke 23, beginning at verse 33. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching. The rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And there was written notice above him, which read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." So what kind of king, what kind of power did we just witness in that story? Not power, of course, defined by human terms, but power in terms of God's terms. We're going to go to Paul's letter to the Colossians to get some clarity on that. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 11. We're going to start at verse 9 for a little bit of background. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We're asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you have heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and for which I, Paul, have become a servant. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. So as I said, this Sunday marks the end of the Christian calendar for this year, 2022. This is the Sunday that's designated as Christ the King Sunday, a Sunday to reaffirm Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and to perhaps do a little meditation on what that means. Who is this Jesus that we have placed our faith in, that we continue to live in accord with? We witness in Luke's account of the crucifixion the greatest battle which had ever been fought on earth. It was the battle to defeat sin and death, to break the bonds that held each and every person to eternal death and damnation. We come to the cross. We consider the scene that Luke has painted. We consider that inscription above Christ. This is the King of the Jews. Of course, Pilate meant that inscription to mock Jesus, to flaunt the iron fist of Roman rule. But we can ask in this year of 2022, where are the Romans? Where is the great Roman Empire? Who is indeed the King? The inscription spoke of a truth that would have shocked Pilate. Hanging on that cross was a king of might and power beyond Pilate's understanding. To me, there's one verse of Luke's description which embodies the victory that Christ has won there. As Roman soldiers are nailing his hands and feet to the cross, where his agony is just beginning, and like we can't imagine how intense it was, Luke tells us that Jesus cried out, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. In his greatest moment of agony, Christ drew the sword that would sever the chains that hold people in bondage. He drew the sword of forgiveness that struck down the enmity between God and humans. Had some people disagree with me, but in our Reformed theology, we believe that God was at war with humanity because we had turned our back on him. We were the crowning achievement of God's creation and chose to follow our own path instead of following God. We were estranged from God forever. God was at war with us. But that doesn't mean God stopped loving us. He sent Jesus Christ to draw that sword, to liberate each and every one of us from the bonds of sin, to fill that breach that separated us from God. The cross has come to signify that kind of victory, that kind of reconciliation that we kind of take for granted nowadays, don't we? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. How many times have we quoted those words when we see Christians as well as non-Christians carrying vendettas, holding grudges, which promote strife? During my prayer, I was going through mentally all the different places where it could ignite in the nations, and their hatred and anger could ignite another war. I mean, it's bad enough what we're seeing happen in Ukraine. A whole nation is going to be, regardless of who wins that war, the whole nation is going to be destroyed. Many mothers are going to weep for the loss of their sons and daughters. Families will be broken apart maybe never to be rejoined. Hatred will be grown and hatred will be fed. Grudges will be held. The sword of revenge will come back over and over again. Unless one thing happens, this sword of forgiveness that Jesus wields breaks those bonds of hatred and anger. Christ died for this kind of forgiveness, but that forgiveness cannot be accessed without a personal interaction with Christ. Repentance, turning around, is something that has to be part of the process. Owning one's sin, one's the wrongness that we have participated in or have instigated. Repenting of it, turning around from it, and turning to Christ. For he's the only one in the universe that can grant forgiveness. And so it's a very personal interaction with Christ. And I don't know about you, but in me, it gives rise to feelings of gratitude and devotion. In this season of Thanksgiving, I can't help but be thankful in the depths of my heart for all that Christ has done for me. Forgiveness brings healing. Forgiveness reconciles that which has been broken, particularly in the area of relationships. Think about how Jesus brought us back to God. Jesus filled the breach, reconciled us, that God's love, when God looks upon us, as Paul said in Colossians, God looks upon us as pure, just the same as if we were the very day that he made Adam and Eve. That's how we are in Christ. That's what Christ does for us. Forgiveness brings healing to relationships. It brings healing to communities. And it has a domino effect upon our own lives, on our demeanor, our whole outlook on life. During the sermon, I happened to think, okay, what does it actually feel like to receive forgiveness? What does it feel like? Where does that gratitude come from? Well, the Lord had given me a good example, or a good illustration. Late in 2015, I had a bout with Lyme disease. Woke up one morning and my body was tortured with every joint aching. I had fevers and chills which alternated constantly. My stomach was upset. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. And there was a growing rash that threatened to cover my whole body. And being a stubborn man, my wife says, I waited to go to the doctor. I thought, well, I can, we're going to get through this. We'll handle it. Tomorrow will be better. Tomorrow wasn't better. It didn't get better. And I reached that point, and you hear people say this, and I always thought, well, that's just silliness. That can't be, you can't really feel that way. But you know, when people say, I was so sick, I wanted to die. You want relief. And if death is where the relief comes from, then you say, bring it on. That's how bad it got. But praise God, I went to the doctor. I got the antibiotics. And almost immediately, I could feel them coursing through my body. Wow, the relief. I can't imagine, I never in my life had felt that kind of relief right away. And that's how it should feel when we're forgiven by Christ. A complete renewal, that warming from the inside out. That's what the Wesleys said that they experienced. John Wesley was at a worship service, and suddenly he felt a warming from inside. I felt that same way with that antibiotic. But I also feel that way when I consider that Jesus Christ has forgiven me. And now receiving forgiveness brings that same feeling, or extending that forgiveness to someone is that same warm feeling. The rash disappears. The discomfort leaves. The pain is gone. I became almost giddy with relief. That same relief is found for souls who are deep in grudges, who are nurturing revenge, souls who carry heavy, nagging burdens of guilt for wrongs done. People notice that we are forgiving people. In 1988, Marguerite Lasky, one of the best-known secular humanists and novelists, died. But before she died, she gave a television interview, and she said, "What I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness." "I have nobody to forgive me," Lasky said. She didn't recognize the great power of Christ's forgiveness until the very last days of her life. We can pray that somehow or another she came to know Christ, she came to know that forgiveness, that she received that antibiotic of the soul. Yes, when we celebrate Christ the King, we are celebrating forgiveness, the forgiveness that he brought into the world. Paul listed some of the other characteristics of Christ that we celebrate today too. That he was the true image of God. We lost that image when Adam and Eve disobeyed, but Christ brought it back, showed us what it looked like. The image to which we are all made, the image to which Christ returns us. And I love the phrase that Paul says, "Before all things was Christ, and in him all things hold together." Do you ever feel like the whole world is fragmenting? All you have to do is sit down and watch the news service. The world is definitely falling apart in many ways. But Christ, Paul reminds us, is the originator of our world. He was the creator. And as Paul says, in him all things hold together. There's a famous sermon by an Atlanta preacher, Louis Giglio. Some of you know him already. Where Louis was preaching, teaching about this whole principle that Paul mentions here. In Christ, all things hold together. In other words, that which was broken and that which is falling apart is held together by Christ and by his ministry. And Louis was talking to a molecular scientist about, you know, this principle. And that molecular scientist says, "Well, you're talking about laminin." Louis said, "What?" "Laminin," he said, it's a complex adhesion protein that it's present in our bodies and in all, you know, in all flesh. It's a protein basic to the cellular structure of our bodies, and without it, guess what? The cells in your body fall apart. Laminin, and finally, Louis's clincher, you know, Louis was good at preaching. He probably still is. I don't know if he's still active or not. I mean, he's gray like I am, so I don't know if he's retired from the pulpit. But he has on the screen behind him a picture of the laminin molecule. It's in that shape right there. That molecule that's in your body that's holding together everything is in that shape, in the shape of a cross. Blows you away, doesn't it? Paul also said that Christ was the firstborn among the dead, firstborn among the dead. He was supreme over death, supreme over everything, even death itself. You know, there are those when we do the Apostles' Creed who say, well, why do we say, you know, he descended into hell? I don't want Jesus to go to hell. That doesn't sound right. Jesus went to hell because he was now Lord there. He was now the king. He had defeated death. He was now in charge of death. Supreme, the supreme ruler over everything. And of course, we acknowledge that Jesus is head of our church. Oh, how many times people forget that. It's my church, and by God, we're going to do it my way, right? Jesus said, no, it's my church, and you're going to do it my way. He who builds the house builds it in vain without the Lord. So he's supreme over death, supreme over everything, and we who were once alienated from God are now redeemed, we're reconciled, and we are restored to the graces of Almighty God. Now that's antibiotic for the soul. That is a fuel for the attitude of gratitude that we're talking about in this Thanksgiving week. I hope you'll be blessed this week and indeed have opportunities to tell and to show others your forgiveness, your grace, and the reconciliation that Christ brought into the world. To him be the glory. Amen. Indeed, speaking, let's have a word of prayer. Almighty God, thank you. Thank you so much for Christ the King Sunday. We are so easily distracted from the one who is head of our church, head of our lives. Help us to always remember whom and whose we are in Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen.